Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me just say something right real quick like here. Do you understand why that's important? Because the life of the Spirit in the kingdom of God, in the principles of God's kingdom, in the principles of God's life, in that kingdom, this kingdom that's eternal, that goes beyond everything you feel, know, and touch, this principles of this kingdom are contrary to the life of the flesh, the principalities and powers of this world. Matter of fact, the principalities and powers of this world, the life of the flesh, are so contrary, they bring death instead of life. They do everything they can to hinder the life of the Spirit in your life. So anytime you and I choose to operate in the flesh, we are doing damage to what the Spirit wants to do in and through our lives. And sometimes we forget that. And we just need to understand there's just this polar opposite, this fresh water and salt water that is totally contrary to the kingdom of God. And you and I must understand that and therefore resist the life of the flesh, the principalities and powers of this world. Amen? Yeah. All right, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here's the deal. The life of the Spirit is full of freedom, joy in the Holy Spirit, eternal life, all kinds of good stuff. Amen? You won't regret living over here in the Spirit. Can I tell you, when you please the flesh, when you operate in the flesh, you're going to regret every moment of it. It's full of guilt and condemnation, regret. And then some more regret, a few kicks in the tail. Are you with me? Yeah. So we've been talking about life in the Spirit, and really what God is asking is that you make Him Lord of your life. That the Holy Spirit has first position in your life. That when the Holy Spirit whispers, you listen. How many takes a little time to know the voice of God? To learn the voice of God. I remember one of the scariest verses to me in the New Testament is when Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I mean, you got to know my sheep. I don't know. I'm trying to learn it, Lord. Sometimes I thought I heard the voice of God, but it wasn't. I'm learning. I mean, you know, you got to learn the things of the Spirit. Can I tell you, the things of the flesh come naturally. You don't have to learn them. You were born in that. It's so natural. To do this, you got to resist that. And that's the struggle. That's the struggle. But the first position of our heart ought to be, what's the Spirit say to us? One of the defining verses in the New Testament is this, and they've selected Paul and Barnabas and getting ready to send out, and it says this, and it seemed good to the Holy Ghost, and then to us. You see, the first priority there is what? The Spirit of the Lord. It ought to be good. That ought to be it for us too. And here's the other thing. What happens when we start operating in the Spirit of the Lord? The motives of our heart mean everything. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because over here, in the life of the flesh, it's all about pleasing this. Everything about this. Making this happen. Making the flesh. And the more you do that over here, the bigger that appetite gets. And before you know it, you are unsatisfied in everything that you are doing. Because you have got to have always more. There's something beautiful about the life of the Spirit in that we are fulfilled and we have abundant life because of who He is. Glory to God. So he begins to work on the motives of our heart. He begins to change our thoughts when we live in the Spirit, because it's not after the flesh, it's after the things of God. And the other thing, it changes the way we speak, because we start speaking in agreement with the kingdom of God, because we're walking with Jesus. And you want to say things that Jesus would say. And how does Jesus speak? He speaks with encouragement. He speaks with love. That shouldn't be foreign to us, right? So when we walk in agreement with the kingdom of God, we agree with the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, there is power behind the words that agree with the kingdom of God. They bring life. They bring encouragement. They build each other up. Help me, Lord. Yeah. And we know this. Outside of this spirit life, there's spiritual death. And every time I operate here, I bring life to the I bring death to the work of the Spirit in what He wants to do in my life. I hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. And you know what it feels like? I go up two rungs and back up down to the floor again. Go up three rungs and back down to the floor again. That's what happens when you... Yeah. It's not good. That life over there, the work of the flesh, hinders the work of the Spirit. It waters the work of the Spirit down in our lives. And we can't be it. You know, Jesus said some amazing things about us. You're going to do greater things than me. We would if we wouldn't let this life create a watered down life of the Spirit. Yeah. So what do we have to do? We got to know our enemy. And our biggest enemy sometimes is us. What's going on in our heart? What's on in our head? Amen? And that's why it's important. You'll hear that on the video that you do in your small groups. Spiritual disciplines become very important in our lives. You've got to learn to do and participate in spiritual disciplines. Why? Because you can't live a life in the Spirit without disciplining the life of the flesh to move away from into. That's why it's a good discipline to pray. Not just on Sunday. Every day. It's a good discipline to read your word every day. Amen? Not just a verse. Discipline means you are disciplined to do it more than your flesh wants to. Right? Read through the scripture devotionally. Tithing. That's a discipline of the faith. Here's a good one. You ready? Fasting. Yay! No, nobody gets excited about that. Listen, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You know why? Because there's something in learning to give to Him that does something. It puts you in the kingdom. It puts you in the life of the Spirit more than anything else in relationship to the flesh. Because a lot of this flesh stuff is tied to the money. The money. So what we don't want to be is controlled by the works of the flesh. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the works of the flesh, because that's what Galatians chapter 5 goes into. The acts of the flesh are obvious. They're obvious. They're obvious. What's that mean? They're recognizable. Listen, if you come in contact with the life of the Spirit, it's pretty obvious what the flesh is. You know, you don't need a dictionary, but I'm going to be your dictionary today. Because we need to understand it. We need to understand it. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, here's the deal. The works of the flesh can be broken down into four categories. One, sensual sins. Number two, false worship. Number three, the relational sins. Number three, sinful practices. Sensual sins. Listen to what he says. Sexual immorality. That comes from the word, the Greek word porneia. Anybody got an idea where we get out of that? Pornography. Anything associated, it's not only as fornication, adultery, prostitution, harlotry. It's any kind of sexual sin that's out there that if you're close to the kingdom of God, it ought to be obvious to you that isn't part of this. You know, the Bible says this about the marriage bed. It's pure. Hallelujah. It's pure. And then he lists this word impurity. It means moral uncleanness in relationship to sexual sins. And then he uses this weird word called, and King James uses lewdness. And that basically says this, sexual practices of any kind outside of marriage. And there are people who say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about cars either. There are some things that are obvious. Listen to me. If you want the flesh to control you, you can make all excuses all day long for the flesh to control you. Or if you want to live in the Spirit, it's going to take a battle. That over there is easy. This over here takes effort and energy and discipline to overcome those things. Amen? Now, here's what you have to understand. Every one of us was born in this domain of the flesh. Every one of us has the temptations of the flesh, sensual temptations. Every one of us. Every one of us has this idolatry thing, because that's the next thing he talks about, for false worship. Idolatry. Well, I don't have any little emulations anywhere, any idols around my house or anything. I don't have any of that in my house. I just don't. Can I ask you a question? When you stand in the mirror, is the person you're looking at your idol? I don't know. It only takes me 4 hours to get ready to go out of the house. Oh. Got close to somebody. You see, sometimes the image in the mirror is our idol. It's what we worship. It's what we wrap our lives around, our own happiness, our own pleasure. Most people, even the whole theological bent today is, God is here to make me happy. No, he's not. He's here to save your soul from hell. And I'm glad he does. Amen? You see, when you make your life about how others treat you and how they treated you and how it's all about you, you're in danger of idolatry. When you allow your emotions to manage your whole world, I'm going to tell you, you become a king unto your own self. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it's a strange world when emotions rule our whole world. Now I know there are people who have emotional problems that need help, and my heart goes out to you because of a chemical imbalance in your life and so on and so forth. You need help. Don't deny that. When you're sick and you have the flu, you go to the doctor. And there are same things with emotional issues. Sometimes you need a doctor. But there are other times when we just allow our emotions to rule our day because someone didn't shake our hand. Because someone didn't say hello. They said hello to everybody else, but not me. Here's a good practice. Look in the mirror and say, I'm not that important. Don't make an idol of yourself. Amen? And then he uses this word called sorcery, which we get witchcraft from, which in that day had to do with the incantation, the mixing of drugs. The mixing of drugs and the administrating of drugs. And he's not talking about the pharmacist. I know people, you know, marijuana is not mentioned in the Bible. It must be. Okay. Listen, anything that alters your mind so that now you can't function under the lordship of Jesus Christ in a proper way. In other words, other things become influencing you more than the lordship of Christ. It's wrong. It's wrong. You need to flee from it because it is not life in the Spirit. The next thing, and it has to do with personal relational sins. And can I tell you, this category is bigger than all the others. Here's what we tend to do. Well, that's just the way I was brought up. I'm Irish. I have a right to get mad. I mean, there's all kinds of excuses we use in this, but you know this. It's the flesh. And the first one he uses is hatred, hostility, a state of deep-seated ill will towards somebody. I don't know why I don't like them. I just don't like them. Strife. Here's the next one. Bitter disagreement between conflicting facts or claims or opinions. It's not even about the truth. It's just you're at war with somebody because they don't agree with you. You know, like how to make your bed. It's funny what we get in strife about. Jealousy, greedy or prideful longing for something that belongs to another. I'm very jealous of Jamin. It is the hair. I can't do that. It just ain't gonna happen. I'm working on trying to get over it. Okay. Just don't flaunt it in front of me. Jealousy. Rage. Basically, it means hot-tempered. Fury arises quickly. The swelling up of anger. Rage. Hot-tempered. Now, most of the time, our rage gets displayed in our actions and our words. You know, I really wanted to beat it, but I was afraid of hurting this. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You see, action and words should be in line with the character and nature of his kingdom. Help me, Lord. It's just the way my family was, Pastor Larry. Can I tell you something? When you got saved, you changed family lineage. We're now the family of God. We're the household of faith. You have no excuse. But why? Why can I say that? Because you have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome everything and anything you've ever learned in your life. Amen? Yeah. We better move on, hadn't we? Here's a real specialty of the work of the flesh, and it's called selfishness. Anybody selfish? A strong drive for personal success without moral inhibitions. In other words, the drive for success or what I want, just doesn't matter what I get, how I get it. It doesn't matter who I use to get what I want. Cheating doesn't matter. Stealing doesn't matter. Lying doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is my own gain. Selfishness. The next one he uses, dissensions, discord, that splits groups. It's amazing what people get over, even in the kingdom. You know, they claim to be in the kingdom. How mad they get it, splitting the kingdom. It's just the work of the flesh. It's just the work of the flesh. And he says heresies, fractions, dissent from the common group. The idea of taking up a false teaching. Someone got mad at me the other day because I questioned them. They were proclaiming there was no hell because of the book they read. How many know what the book says? And the book trumps all other books. Amen? Heresies. Speak the truth in love, and sometimes they make it very difficult. Envy. Resentment toward the success of other people for what they possess. That's why the Bible says this, rejoice with those who rejoice. When someone that you're associated with in the church gets a raise, you ought to celebrate with them. I deserve that. I don't know why they got that, but anyhow, they got that. I deserve that. Can celebrate with those. Amen? And then he talks about sinful practices. That's the fourth category, which is drunkenness. The excessive consumption of alcohol. Carousing. Excessive feasting with moral debauchery that follows. It's basically this. Partying? Yeah, that's what I meant to say. That's what he's talking about. Hop, hop, hop. Party, 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 party. Oh, your whole life's party, 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 party. Now, I'm all about partying, but I can't even say it. And then he has this strong warning. It's kind of like, in case I missed anything, he says, as I warned you, in case you missed something, he says this, and the like. Anything that feeds this, anything that makes this grow, anything that causes all kinds of dissension, heresy, and all that, the stuff that's not in keeping with the kingdom of God, the life of the Spirit, and the like, stay away from it. Because why? Here's the strong warning. I warn you, as I previously warned you before, that those who practice do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says that pretty plain, doesn't he? Will not obtain the kingdom. Can I tell you something? Here's good advice right here. Don't live your life thinking there's not going to be a judgment. The proverb says this, the beginning of the wisdom is to fear the Lord. And one day we're all going to stand before him. Even the redeemed are going to stand before him. Huh? In the Old Testament, there was all kinds of judgments. Judgments on the flood. Judgment on Pharaoh. We could go through the list. And then Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word. How many words? That kind of covers everything, doesn't it? That men speak. They will give an account on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, there's a great truth in the fact that you and I ought to speak truth in love. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he says this, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive his recompense in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We're all going to stand before him. You see, we think somehow the cross cancels all the judgment of God, and we forget to read the scriptures. Here it is in the church. Ananias and Sapphira come before Peter and they're happy because, you know, they sold a piece of property and they say, yeah, we're giving it all. We're giving it all. And they held some back. They had all the right to hold some back and give whatever they wanted to give, but they gave the impression, they manipulated the situation and gave the impression that they were given it all. And they stand before Peter and Ananias drops dead. It's the judgment, the first judgment of God in the New Testament on hypocrisy. Lying to the Holy Spirit. It gives us an idea of what God is going to do on the last day when we stand before Him. That's why. And guess what happened? His wife comes right behind him. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Boom! She drops dead. That's why Paul says this. I warn you. Don't participate in this. People that participate in this are contrary to this, the kingdom of the Spirit. And you're gonna suffer great consequences if you participate in this. It's going to do more damage than you can ever imagine if you do all this stuff that God says no to. Yeah. First Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, it says this. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Where does judgment begin? At the house of God. And if it begins first with us, what shall the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We need to pay attention. Don't be drug around by the lust of the flesh and start dissipating the influence of the Spirit and the work of His Word in our hearts and our lives. Our strength comes from living over here. Our power comes from living over here. Our joy comes from living over here. The foundation of all of our worship happens right over here. Amen. The worship team can come back up here. I'm telling you, man. And then it's a struggle. Because listen, every one of us in this room are in the flesh still. You know what that means? You're pulled to live over here. Because a lot of people are living over here. A lot of your friends are living over here. A lot of your... You're pulled to live over here. You have to resist that. You have to flee that. And you have to tabernacle over here with God. Hang out with God. Why? Because the Spirit don't want you to have what God has for you. Peace and joy and fellowship in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to have it. Can I tell you? Life in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit, and you will not have to fear the judgment of God. Did you hear that? Live in the Spirit, and you don't have to fear the judgment of God, because what comes out of your mouth will be pleasing to the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. Where you walk, you will be led by the Spirit. You won't have to fear the judgment of God. Can I tell you, you start dabbling over here, then something begins to happen, deteriorate in your spirit, and you will stand before Him and have to give an account why you were pulled this way when He offered you so much power and grace and mercy to live above it. Amen. So then we have to say, Lord, help me to live according to the Spirit. Lord, help me to walk humbly before You, knowing that I can't do this in my own power and in my own strength. I need You.